Before we come to read the word of God together, and it's only one verse for today, let's come in a word of prayer before God. Father, we know that you are already here. We may be tired, we may be thinking about other things, or we may be saddened, but we pray, oh Lord, that you will meet us where we are, exactly where we are, oh Lord. And we pray that you will speak tenderly to us. We pray, oh Lord, that if we are somewhat insensitive to you, if we are a little bit dulled, we pray, oh Father God, that you would have your own way of poking at us, stimulating and challenging us. Because Father God, we want to walk with you. We want to see Jesus, and we want to have the power of resurrection in our lives. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship together. And now, Father God, we pray that you will speak to each and every one of us. Despite human limitations, despite, Father God, what we cannot do, and despite, Father God, we are slow to understand, we pray, O Lord, that you will break through everything and speak to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I like the reminder by Dennis just now in the children's message that, you know, if Jesus had not risen, then, you know, we don't need to be here at all today. We have better things to do. Now, someone many, many years ago, you know, had exactly the same conviction, a very powerful conviction in the power and in the reality of resurrection. And that person, before I go on, let's read the scripture together. All right, scripture today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. It is only one verse. And because it's only one verse, therefore, I'm going to ask us to read it over first in English and then followed by Chinese. This is the word of God, even though it is only one verse, but we pray that God will speak to us. So let's read together, brothers and sisters. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And now, 我们现在用中文, 我们用中文读, 若耶稣没有复活, 我们所传的便是谎然, 你们所信的也是谎然。 I was saying that, you know, many years ago, there was a very noted, famous person who had great belief in the power and reality of resurrection. And his name is Benjamin Franklin. Those of us who know a little bit about Benjamin Franklin knows that, you know, he was truly a Renaissance man. He was a person of many, many accomplishments. He was a scientist. He was an inventor. In fact, you know, he discovered electricity through his very famous kite experience. He was also a musician. He was, responsible in helping the U.S. secure independence because he helped draft the Declaration of Independence. He was also, you know, a very prolific author. He wrote many articles and even, you know, invented some kind of a printing press to help publish books. Needless to say, he also established the first post office in the city of Philadelphia. He had accomplished so many things that, you know, to honor him, the United States government put his face on $100 bill. Now, when Benjamin Franklin was 23 years old, he had already accomplished a lot. And at that time, he did something that most people, you know, would not do. He started thinking about writing his own epitaph. That is, you know, he wanted to write something, to leave something behind to share with people, you know, at the time of his death. And that was when he was 23 years old. Even though this epitaph was never used many years later when he died, nevertheless, you know, it was a statement that speaks very clearly and also very powerfully to his personal belief in the power of resurrection, the power that raised Jesus from the dead and the power that one day would also raise him from the dead. So this is how it goes as far as the epitaph is concerned. It says, the body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here. Food for worms, but the work shall not be lost, for it will be, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author, that is, God himself. This was how he looked at himself, that one day he will die, just like any other mortal. But one day also, at a time appointed by God, he's going to be resurrected bodily from the grave by the Lord Jesus Christ. Benjamin Franklin was absolutely correct about the reality and the power of resurrection. In fact, you know, the teaching on resurrection is one of the most important features marking the Christian faith as different from all other faiths and religions. In this verse, the one that we have just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says that to deny the reality of resurrection is to deny that Jesus has come back from the dead. That if there is no resurrection of the dead at all, then Jesus could not have risen at all. Furthermore, you know, if we deny the resurrection of the dead and therefore we deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the gospel, the good news of the Bible, to us has become useless. There's no longer any point for us to gather on Sunday to worship. There's no longer any use for us to believe and to follow in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you will find that in this whole chapter, it is a little bit long, 58 verses altogether, you find that the entire chapter is about resurrection. And it is so much about resurrection that Bible teachers have given this particular chapter, more than any chapters in the Bible, a very unique name. They call this chapter the resurrection chapter. More than any other passages in the entire Bible, Paul talks about the power and also the reality of resurrection. And the reason why Paul brought up this subject was because, you know, back in his days, even within or inside the church in Corinth, there were believers, there were people who claimed that there was no such a thing as resurrection. And so we read in verse 12 of the same chapter, Paul was questioning them, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? It is impossible for Paul to believe that. But Paul knew that because we are human beings, unless we are taught correctly from the Bible, we are likely to believe whatever we want to believe. So Paul talks about resurrection here in the whole chapter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely critical in the Christian faith. In fact, if you study the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you would find that, you know, on many occasions, the apostles, or maybe even Paul himself, you know, were preaching to the non-believing crowd. And if you count the number of messages to the non-believers, there are about 13 such messages to non-Christians. And of the 13 sermons to non-believers in the Acts of the Apostles, 11 of them mention resurrection specifically, 11 out of the 13. The other two, you know, do not mention the resurrection pointedly, but it is very much implied. So that gives us an example of why resurrection was so important. And that in order to share with people the faith and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to talk about him overcoming death, him having risen. Why is the resurrection so important? First, the resurrection of Jesus makes Christianity different from all other religions because we are dealing with a real, a living person. We're dealing with a real and a living person. And this is a collective statement from the apostles. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, this is how John the apostle, John the elder, you know, spoke to the people in his days. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we ourselves have heard, which we have seen with our very own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have actually handled. This we proclaim concerning the word of life, and the word of life is none other than Jesus Christ, because he was the word that became life. And in verse 2, he continues, the life that is Jesus appeared. We have seen it ourselves, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you life eternal, which was with the Father and has also appeared to us. So John, representing himself and other believers, he was sharing a very personal and real testimony. Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that, in order that you also may have fellowship with us, in order that we may share the same teaching, the same belief, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And finally, in verse 4, he says, we write this to make your joy complete, your joy complete. John and the other apostles wanted the believers back in their time to know that Jesus has is a real person. Jesus is alive. They have seen it with their eyes. They have handled it. They have touched it with their hands. They have heard it with their own ears. And they want to make sure that, you know, everyone in the world, especially believers, know about this. Because Christianity is a fellowship, having a personal relationship with a real person who is alive. We may know a lot about Jesus Christ, but if we do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, then we really do not know him. And then there is no point for us participating in communion. So the resurrection of Jesus is important because it makes the Christian faith different from all other faiths. Second, the resurrection of Jesus is important because forgiveness of sins can only be done by Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus was talking about him being the Son of Man, the Son of God. And therefore he says the Son of Man in verse 6, or the Son of God, has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus wants his people to know very clearly that he is God and he has a power to cancel all debts and all sins. So therefore, when we come before the Lord's table, we remember the familiar warnings given by Paul that, you know, we should all come examine our hearts so that we may participate in the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. We are unworthy, but we want to make sure that our attitude is worthy because the Holy Spirit is convicting us. Third, resurrection of Jesus is important and critical because a number of Bible passages tells us that our very own spiritual resurrection, our born again, is linked to that of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 is a very good example. Let us read this together. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Paul was reminding the Colossian believers that remember you are believers. And what does believers mean? That means that you are one with Christ. You belong to the people of God, and you have been raised with the Lord Jesus Christ. You were dead in sins, but now you are alive in the eyes of God. You have been all born again. And had Jesus not risen from the dead, this would have not been possible. And then fourth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is important because it guarantees our physical, our bodily resurrection. Romans chapter 8 says that, and if the spirit of him, that is of God who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, living in us, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in us. If the Spirit of God is in us, God who raised Jesus will also raise us from the dead. So our resurrection, bodily resurrection, is tied together with Jesus' bodily resurrection. Hebrews chapter 2, and Jesus Christ freed those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And then in 1 Corinthians, it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because Jesus is alive, because he has overcome death, therefore he made all these promises possible. The Bible talks about death in the following ways. One, death is certain, absolutely certain. Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed for man to die once. Every person is destined to die once. But we also know that death, even though it is certain, is not the end. It is not final, because the same verse tells us that, and after that, facing judgment, judgment of God. We also know that Jesus defeated death, our Savior Jesus Christ, in 2 Timothy, destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Therefore, death is certain, but death is not the end, and Jesus has destroyed, vanquished death altogether. Not only did Jesus destroy death, through him we have the resurrection of our bodies. The only way for us to understand the resurrection body is to consider the experiences of Jesus. You remember that after Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples could still recognize him, and they could still see the marks of crucifixion on his body. They noticed that Jesus ate and drank with them, but yet at the same time, he also appeared and disappeared from their midst, suggesting that in his glorified state, he transcended, no longer is he limited by time and space. That gives us some ideas of the kind of bodies you and I will receive in the future. That we are no longer limited by time and space. Our current body is like a piece of old equipment. It keeps breaking down. But one day the Bible says it will be renewed totally. It will be a brand new body that is incapable of sinning, incapable of suffering, and incapable of breaking down. A day is coming when our body will be totally new. A day is coming when we will not be capable of mourning, sorrowing. When Jesus saves us, he saves all of us, every part of us. We are not just concerned about salvation for our souls. As Christians, we are also concerned about salvation for our body. So today, as we come before the table of the Lord Jesus, we affirm our faith and our belief in the person of the Lord Jesus, but we also at the same time affirm that this is Jesus of the resurrection. And so therefore, we thank God for the hope that we have in him. We have faith in a living, in a person that is alive. Without Jesus being alive, Christianity would just be another dead religion. And this is why we sometimes recite the Apostles' Creed. We won't be doing that today. But for those of us who remember or who have memorized the Apostles' Creed, you will remember that the entire Apostles' Creed has 12 statements or 12 parts to it. And the second last part talks about resurrection. It says, I believe in the resurrection of the body. I believe in the resurrection of the body. The Bible says that our salvation will not be complete until the human body itself is resurrected from the dead. And this is a great encouragement to us. We know it is true because Jesus himself has resurrected. Because he rose, we will rise one day. But in order to enjoy these gifts of resurrection and the gifts of life eternal, there is one condition. We must come, acknowledging that we are sinners who need the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from then on, having been forgiven by him, resolve to follow him in everyday life. We must come as sinners confessing. We must come acknowledging that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and that he is alive. And we must ask him to enable us to follow him each and every day. Some of us probably have seen the movie The Passion of Christ, released in 2004, directed by Mel Gibson. And you may remember that, you know, the entire movie was spoken in Aramaic, a Hebrew dialect. And that, you know, the whole movie from beginning to end was, you know, very bloody. And towards the final part of it, the part about the crucifixion, there was a little bit of important detail that usually goes unnoticed by most people, but it is very important. When Jesus, in this movie, is being placed on the cross, the camera comes close to watch as a large spike or large nail is positioned in the middle of Jesus' hand. And then you notice that a mallet comes into focus, and a rugged hand, a right hand, swing, you know, holding the nail with the left hand holding the nails, and the right hand hammering, swing it to drive the spike in. Those are the things that we expect to see. But there's something that we don't quite see. We don't quite see the face of that soldier, of that person who placed a nail on the hands of Jesus. The hand of the soldier who hammered the nail into the hand of Jesus. We don't know who it is. The whole movie was based on the Gospel of John. The director was Mel Gibson. Why did not he show the face of the one who put Jesus on the cross? Why didn't he give us the identity of the one who had the audacity to crucify the Son of God to death? And do you know whose hand it was? It was that of the director, Mel Gibson himself. Mel Gibson did not show us that face because that face was his. And in the same way, symbolically speaking, that face was mine. That face is yours. We are the ones who put Jesus to death. It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Jews, it was our sins that nails Jesus to the cross. Later on, he had this to say, why he would take on that role himself without showing his face. He says symbolically, he holds himself accountable first and foremost for the death of Jesus. He feels that by telling the story of the Passion, all human beings are responsible for the death of Jesus. And then he adds, I am first online for being guilty. I'm first in line for being guilty. I did it. Jesus says he wants to bless us with the gifts of life eternal and the gifts of the resurrection. But he says, on one condition, we come as guilty people, acknowledging that we are the one who sent him to the cross. We are the one who, like Judas and like Peter, failed him time and again, and that we are the one who needs forgiveness, and we are the one who needs his power to continue our journey of faith. As we meditate on the Lord's table, I ask that you would open your hearts to the working of the Holy Spirit so that God may speak new life into our heart, so that he may show us the extent of our sinfulness, and so that he may also impress upon us the power of his resurrection. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that Jesus was willing to have his body broken and to shed his blood for us. We are not worthy, O Lord, for we are sinners. But we thank you that you are compassionate, you are merciful, you are forgiving. So right now, O Lord, as we come before your table, we acknowledge that we are sinners who need your grace. And we pray, O Lord, that you would continue the work of redemption in our hearts. Father, we pray for renewing of our spirit, of our minds, so that we may be more and more like Jesus Christ. We also pray, Father, that we will not take for granted the sacrifice of the cross. We pray, O Lord, that you will give us a greater thirst and hunger to follow you. So right now, O Lord, minister to us. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to build up the body of Christ, that is the Chinese Community Church, that we may be a spiritual congregation, a people for your kingdom. For it is in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask. Amen.